Let's take our Bibles this morning and go to 1 Kings chapter number 5. 1 Kings chapter 5. Now, you're going to have to stay with me today because we're going to cover quite a few chapters. We're not going to read all of these verses, but we are dealing with the building of the temple. And Solomon is building the temple, a temple for God's glory, a temple, a place where God would meet with his people. The Shekinah glory of God would be upon this building of the temple. We know in the wilderness they had what they called the tabernacle. The tabernacle was something movable. It was something that they would take down and put back up as they wandered in the wilderness. Well, now they are where God would have them to be. And it was in the heart of David to build a temple unto the Lord. But God would not let him. God, in a sense, allowed David to prepare for the building of the temple so that Solomon, his son, could build it. And let me tell you this. It took 30,000 men to build the temple. It took 7 years and 6 months for the completion of it. And in today's estimation, they value the temple. And of course, we don't know all of what was put into it. But over $5 million for the building of the temple. It was a beautiful, beautiful place. In fact, inside of it was all of gold. And outside of it, it was overlaid with gold. Can you imagine? In fact, during the building of the temple, they built it in such a way as to where you could not hear the sound of a hammer being used on it. Because the way that they did things outside of the temple and brought them into it. It was a marvelous structure. But in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it because the people, they trusted in a building rather than in the God of the building. And may I say to you today, when we talk about this building here, sometimes we refer to this as the church. Come to the church. Well, the truth of the matter is, the church is the people. And collectively speaking, the church as a whole is everyone that has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the church. And when Jesus Christ comes again one day, he is not necessarily coming just for Grace Baptist Church or another church. He's coming for every individual that has placed their faith and their trust in him. Amen. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how can we have application from the temple? How can we apply this to our life? Well, may I tell you that in the New Testament church age, every child of God, God calls us a temple. Did you know that? In fact, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit that indwells us today. So today, I want to preach to you on this subject. You are the temple of God. You are the temple. Now let's look at the temple just for a moment, and then we're going to go to the New Testament, and may God help us today to have great application in our lives. We come to 1 Kings chapter 5. Well, I want us to begin in verse number 2, and then we will read down to verse number 5. 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name." Now let's go, if you would please, to 1 Kings chapter 6, if you would turn over to there. And in just a moment, we'll begin in verse number 11. Now we're going through this. I'm not going to read all of this. It talks about what man did what and what was constructed and what was purchased and all of that. It was no doubt a beautiful place. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, Concerning this house which thou art in building, If thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the house and finished it. Now would you go to verse number 18 of the same chapter, 1 Kings chapter 6. Can I show you some things about this house? We won't look at all of them, but notice about this temple, verse number 18. And the cedar of the house within was carved with knops and open flowers, all with cedar. There was no stone seen. And the oracle he prepared in the house within to set there the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Now go to verse number 21. So Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold. And he made a partition by the chains of gold before the oracle. And he overlaid it with gold. And the whole house he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the house. Also the whole altar that was by the oracle he overlaid with gold. Now go to chapter 7 if you would please, and we'll begin in verse number 48. Now can you imagine this temple? Beautiful, no doubt. Gold everywhere. It was a representative of God's glory. And by the way, let me tell you what the temple really was. The temple bore God's name. The temple manifested God's presence, and it represented God's glory to everyone. And by the way, within the temple, I could show you pictures of it, but for time's sake today, within the temple, there was the Holy of Holies, just like in the tabernacle. And there, the high priest would go in once a year to meet with God face to face. But the glory of God overshadowed the temple, and the people knew that God was among them. Now, let me say this to you. We do not have the temple today. We do not have to go to some place and have some man go before God for us. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in two. You know what that means? Brethren, all of us who know Jesus Christ, we can boldly enter in to the very throne room of God in prayer. And brethren, there is no temple per se. We are the temple of God. Now, I'm not saying that we should overlay our bodies with gold today, all right? I don't think that would be very healthy. But brethren, in a great sense, we are to bear God's name. Did you know that? In a great sense, we are to manifest God's presence. People should know that we are children of God by the way we act, by the way we speak, by the way we live. And we are to represent the glory of God. You and me, we all are the temple of God. Let's go to chapter 7, verse number 48. The Bible says this. Would you notice it? The Bible says, and Solomon made all the vessels that pertained in the house of the Lord, the altar of gold and the table of gold whereupon the showbread was, and the candlesticks of pure gold, five on the right side and five on the left before the oracle, with the flowers and the lamps and the tongs of gold, and the bowls and the snuffers and the basins and the spoons and the censers of pure gold, and the hinges of gold, both for the doors of the inner house, the most holy place, and for the doors of the house, to wit, of the temple. So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. Now in chapter number 8, we will not turn there for time's sake, but in chapter 8, David, or Solomon, comes before God, and he speaks about his dad, David. And he talks about how that God had put it in the heart of his father David to build the temple. And it did manifest the presence and the glory of God, and it bore God's name. In fact, did you know that everybody in that area would know about the temple? It was situated on a high hill. And there was the temple. There was where God's presence was among the people. But you say, Pastor, what does this mean for you and me? Well, we are God's temple today. Let's take our Bibles, go to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians, if you would please, chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I want to show you some things from God's word this morning. I want to ask you something today. Are you, as a child of God, a good representation of Jesus Christ? Do you represent your Heavenly Father in such a way that brings honor to His holy name? You know, the temple, it needed to be something of grandeur. It needed to be something of expense and cost. And by the way, Solomon spent, here we know, so many years, 7 years and 6 months, and money after money to build the temple. Why? Because it was for God. And brethren, great attention and great time was given to the building of the temple. Brethren, you know what? Great attention and time should be given to all of us in our walk with God and in our fellowship with God. Because to this world, we are representations of God. We are bearing the name of God. In fact, the Bible says that let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know something, you bear the name of Jesus Christ today, and the world expects us to be like the temple. We are to manifest that presence. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to notice something here in verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And the Bible goes on to say, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, brethren, I want you to understand something today. God clearly tells us that because the Holy Spirit indwells us this morning, and this is only for the children of God, if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the blessed Holy Spirit dwells within you. It is God Himself who indwells you. And as the temple stood there in beautiful grandeur, covered with gold and a beautiful place, there the manifestation of God's presence was upon the temple. And in the same sense, we are the temple of God. Do you know that whether you want to admit it or not, we bear God's name wherever we go, on your job site, in your neighborhood, to your children? We are the temple of God. We bear that holy name. And notice what the Bible says here. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, verse 16, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And then it goes on in verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now, the emphasis there is, brethren, if you're a child of God this morning, you are the temple of God. Did you know that? You bear His holy, precious name. The Spirit of God indwells you this morning. But can I tell you this? God will judge us if we do not manifest His presence in the right way. In fact, the Bible talks about how that God will judge His children. It's called discipline. You know, my children, I thank God for each and every one of them, but they have had to have discipline through their lives, and I'm sure they will continue to have discipline. And I want them to know that I will continue to give discipline, all right? You know why? Because I love my children. Because I want them to turn out and as God has created them. In fact, parents, God commissions us as parents that we are to train our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That means we are to train them according to biblical standards, not to fashion them according to what we want them to be, but for them to be obedient unto God. And guess what? That means they need child discipline. Well, brethren, if you're a child of God here this morning, you bear His precious name. You represent His glory. The Spirit of God indwells you. And guess what? When we get out of fellowship with our Heavenly Father, when we get on a path that does not honor the Lord, and we defile this temple, and we bring harm to the temple. The temple, our body is the temple. When we bring something into our eye gate or into our ear gate or into our body that defiles this temple, God says, I'll deal with that because I love you. You see, He will chasten us. And by the way, if a Christian gets so far from God and they do not respond to the chastening of the Lord, then the Bible says that God eventually has to take some Christians on home early. Why? Because they are not bearing the temple in the right way. Now let's think this morning and let's apply this to our lives. Number one, I want you to notice that we are the temple of God. But number one, what was this temple? It was a place, number one, of harmony. Now, how many enjoyed the music here this morning? Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? It's a blessing. And I thank God for the choir and the instruments and all of that. But can I tell you something very simple? There has to be harmony or it doesn't sound good at all. Harmony means we have to be singing on the same key and on the right key per se. You know what? Also with harmony, that doesn't mean that the piano, what if Mrs. Carpenter does a great job playing? What if she decides, well, I don't like that song. I'm going to play a different song this morning, all right? Well, can I tell you something? That would not work. Because we all have to be in unison. We all have to be together on the same song, on the same timing, on the same rhythm, because there has to be harmony. These young ladies that sang this morning, they were in harmony together. But what if one of them said, I don't want to sing that part. I'm going to sing another part. It doesn't work that way. And brother, may I say something to you? The temple was a place of unison. It was a place of oneness. It was a place of harmony. When people came to the temple, there was an order about the temple. Did you know that? There was there the priest and the high priest, and everything had to be in order. But it brought harmony. It was a wonderful symbol of God. Brethren, our God is a God of order. Did you know that? And our God is the one who brings us together. Brethren, can I say this to you? If you're a child of God here this morning, can I just tell you this? You and I are part of the same family. Years ago, I heard this story about a lady, and her name was Tammy Harris. Tammy was 21 years of age, and she lived in Roanoke, Virginia. Tammy was adopted. But when she was 21 years of age, she had always been wanting to meet her biological mother. She wanted to know who her real mother was. And so at the age of 21, she began a journey to try to find out who her real mother was. After a year of searching and going through records and trying to contact the agency where she was adopted and all of this, of to no avail could she find her mother. And one day at work, she was talking to some other co-workers. Now, Tammy did not know something. Tammy did not know that her biological mother, Joyce Schultz, had been looking for her for 20 years. She had been trying to find who her daughter, and through terrible circumstances, had to put her daughter up for adoption. And she was looking and searching, and Tammy didn't know something else. That Joyce Schultz worked at the same factory where Tammy worked. And so after a year of searching, one day Tammy was talking to some of her co-workers and telling them, I'm burdened. I want to be able to find my mother. And Joyce overheard them talking. And Joyce went up to Tammy and said, well, Tammy, and I've been looking for my daughter for over 20 years now, and you've been looking for your mom, and you're about the same age. And she said, let's bring in our birth certificates and let's compare them. And sure enough, the next day they brought in their birth certificates and they realized that Tammy was the daughter to Joyce. And the whole time that she had been working there, she had been working close to her mom. And the story goes on to say that when they compared the birth certificates, and they understood that they both were of the same family, they wept and embraced, and they were so grateful that God had brought them together. Well, can I tell you something today? Every one of us that named the name of Jesus Christ, can I tell you something? We are of the same family today. You know what? We have the same birth certificate in some sense. Because God is our Father and God has made us one together. You know something today? Because you're a child of God, you have a wonderful family today. And there is a harmony that should be displayed with the children of God. Brethren, you know that means that we should get along together. We should love one another and pray for one another and forgive one another and care for one another. We are to bear one another's burdens. Why? We're of the same family. You think of the temple. Can you imagine seeing a family going into the temple, confessing their sins to God and meeting with the priest and the high priest going in once a year to bear the burdens and the sins of the people? When people left the temple, can I tell you what they left with? They left with peace. They left with joy. They had just been in the very presence of a holy God. And there was something of harmonious about the temple. You know what? It should be that way when we come to the house of God. You know, we call this the house of God, but really it's just a place where we meet together. If we had to meet outside, I don't recommend that today, but if we met outside, guess what? It'd still be the church. Because we are meeting together. But it should be that when we come, collectively speaking, and we hear the word of God, I pray that there is within your heart a love for the Lord, a desire to follow the Lord, and there is within my heart a love for the Lord and a desire to follow the Lord. We have fellowship together. There is a oneness, a togetherness that God wants us to have. Can I show it to you? Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter number 2. And I want to show you this very precious passage. Ephesians chapter number 2. And I want us to begin in verse number 11. If you would notice this. Christ and all true believers are one. In fact, Ephesians 5:30, as you're returning to Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that we are members of His body, of His flesh, and the Bible even goes on to say, and of His bones. Think of that. There is a harmony. And let me say this to you. I don't think that there is anything worse than a church that does not have harmony together. I don't know that there's anything worse than children of God not having harmony with one another. Oneness, a togetherness. Why? Because, brethren, before Christ, we are of the same family. And before Christ, we are complete and we are accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians chapter number 2, I want us to look in verse number 11. Would you notice this verse? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world." You know something? That is a description of every person without Jesus Christ. Now we're going to read on. This past Friday I was at that Bible club at Mechanicsburg High School. And what a joy it is to be there. It's a great honor to go there and be able to preach as it is at West Liberty. And I love that. But on Friday, we had visitors that came, young people. And boy, I can tell you, as I was preaching the Word of God, and I was giving the gospel, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, boy, I remember my eyes caught the eyes of young people that were listening so intently. Some of them probably never having heard that ever before. You know something? Without God, they are in this world. They are lost. They have no hope. And brethren, this describes every one of us without Christ, no hope, aliens from God. But brethren, because of Jesus Christ, now we're part of the greatest family on the face of the earth, God's precious family. We read on, verse 14, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Now notice verse 18. through Jesus Christ. All of us here who know him, we have access by one Spirit, the Spirit of God who indwells us, unto the Heavenly Father. We read on verse 19, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." You know something, this building was built. And by the way, this building here that you're in is 20 years old now. And we had to find some blueprints because we're looking to do some work and remodeling and all of that. And Dave Link, who built this building, was here this past week, and I was finding those old blueprints. And he said, "Hey, Pastor, your building's 20 years old now." I said, "Well, thanks a lot, you know." And but you know something, this building just didn't happen. This building took a lot of people, took a lot of sacrifice on the church's part, giving and sacrificing and laboring. But it took men who came in, and you cannot see this, but behind the sheetrock are 2x4s, and they are framed together, and they are joined together for a sole purpose. And now for 20 years, this building has stood and has provided a place where we can come together and meet in comfortable settings and hear the preaching of God's word. But brethren, all of us here, we are like the sheetrock and the walls and the lumber and the concrete. We are forming together. We are the temple of God. And there should be harmony in our lives. There should be fellowship together with one another. Take your Bibles. You're in Ephesians. Would you go, if you would, please, to chapter 4. And I'm going to show you something else. Chapter 4, and look in verse number 1. The Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." You know what we are called today? Temples of God. And we should walk worthy of that. How should we walk? Verse number 2. "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." Can I say verse 2? Do you know what all of those things are? Those are things to other people. We are lowly to one another. That means we have humility. Meekness. That means that we hold our tongue sometimes when we don't want to hold our tongue. That means we don't use the sharp words. Meekness, that's power under control. The Bible goes on to say long suffering. We deal. And forbearing one another in love. In verse 3, why? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's harmony. That is working together. That is, you know, something we have to be careful. You know what I found? Sometimes family members treat other family members worse than they treat people outside the family. Have you ever found that to be true? Oh, I'll tell you this. I know this, and I'm going to be honest today. But, you know, I oftentimes treated my sisters a whole lot worse than I treated other girls that I was trying to impress in school, you know. I didn't treat them that way. And, you know, I remember one day my dad saying to me, "Son, you treat other people better than you treat us." And boy, that convicted my heart. And but if you know, if we're not careful, we will treat other people better than we treat our own family members. And we are one today. We are in harmony today. We are the same body. We are the temple of God. God is our Father. And we share the same birth certificate per se. And brethren, we are to endeavor. The word endeavor is a hard-working word. That means to strive at it. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It goes on to say this. And notice what it says in verse 4. "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Brethren, God is in us today. There should be harmony. When I think about the temple, I can think of a place of peace, a place of joy, a place of happiness, a place of freedom where people are ministering and they are serving God and they are being right with God and one another. And by the way, let me say this to you. When you and I are not right with other people, it is a direct indication that we are not right with God. Because my fellowship with God affects everything around me. So the temple, we are the temple of God, should be a place of harmony. Number two, I want you to notice this. The temple was a place of holiness. Now let me say something to you. The temple was a place where certain things were allowed and certain things were not allowed. Do you know that in the temple, they did not play around in the temple? Oh no, children were not allowed to go in there and just to goof off. It was not a place where you go in and take a picnic. It was a holy place. It was a sacred place that is set aside. And by the way, in some sense, as we think about what we would call the sanctuary here, we have set this building aside for the worship of God, for the preaching of God's word. There are certain things we do and do not do in here. Why? Because it is a sacred place set aside. But brethren, each and every one of you, you are the temple of God. And you know what God expects of us as he expected of the temple? We are to be holy. Let's take our Bibles and let's go, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, we've already looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. The earthly temple was a place that was wholly dedicated to God and his glory. I mean, God had certain standards for the temple. There were certain things they were to do and certain things they were not to do. And guess what? If they defiled the temple, God's presence would leave from off the temple. Do you remember when Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses? Do you know what happened when they did that? The presence of God left the tabernacle. It was gone. You know why? Because, brethren, when you and I do not live our lives pleasing to Jesus Christ, can I tell you what we do? We defile the temple. You know, there's been things I've said with my mouth that has defiled the temple. What is the temple? The Bible says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that God commands us and he expects each and every one of us that we are temples and we are to live holy lives? Now, by the way, every one of us today is as holy as we want to be. We are as clean before God as we desire to be. I wonder today, could you pass for God's standard of holiness? The temple, it had certain standards. There were certain things that they could and could not bring into the temple. In fact, do you remember Nadab and Abihu? They offered strange fire before the Lord. Do you know what it really was? It was simply something that God had not commanded them to do. And they were doing it. And what happened? God killed them on the spot. You know why? They defiled the earthly temple. They brought something in their temple that God never intended for them to bring. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. Notice what the Bible says. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, wherefore, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians, I'm in 2 Corinthians. Let me get to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now look what the Bible says. Know ye not. Now let me stop and say this to you. In the book of 1 Corinthians, this is written. Paul wrote it under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He wrote it to new Christians in the city of Corinth. Now let me tell you about Corinth. It was a wicked place. It was a godless place. In fact, they worshiped the goddess Diana there. And in the temple of Diana were temple women who were wicked women, godless women. In fact, a part of the worship was to go and to be immoral with one of those women. That was one of the standards in order to worship the goddess Diana. Well, let me say this to you. Why is Paul writing this? You know why he's writing it? Because people thought, well, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. And it doesn't really matter what I do with the body as long as my heart is to Jesus Christ. And Paul corrects them and says to them, what? It is exclamation. It is, and Paul is not asking them a question that he does not know the answer to. He is saying to them, do you not understand that your body, the body that God gave you, the body that the longer we live is getting older and older, you know? The older I get, the more I realize I couldn't do what I did at 20, you know? But that body, the physical body, our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears, our mind, every part of our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, do you not understand that what you do with your body affects everything about your relationship with God because the Spirit of God indwells you? And then Paul says this in verse 20, ye are bought with a price. Now think about the temple, the earthly temple. Boy, a lot of expense went into that temple. It was purchased, it was created, it was built by a great price. But brethren, what was the price that God paid? He gave his own son, Jesus Christ. That was the price. God was willing to give his only begotten son who went to the cross and bled and died for the sins of all mankind so God could purchase us. Why? Because we were away from God and we were a part of the devil's army. But Jesus Christ rescued us. He redeemed us. May I say this to you? The temple was not just a place of harmony. And I love the thought of looking at the temple and people coming and going and worship and fellowship with one another. But it was a place of holiness. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Would you notice this? You see, in the earthly temple, everything was done for God's glory and God's honor. Nothing that defiled was allowed on the grounds. And I want you to listen to me very closely today because I'm trying to help you as your pastor. You know, I'm your shepherd. It doesn't mean I'm better than anybody else. In fact, I believe there's lots of people in our church that are better Christians than maybe I ever will be. And I mean that. But God has called me to shepherd. The word shepherd means oversee. You know what that means? A part of that means that I'm just saying, hey, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You and I are the same family. But your body and my body, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And do you know what many Christians do to their body, their temple? They defile it. They defile it by things they look at on the internet. They defile it by the TV shows that they watch. They defile it by the movies that they allow into their eye gate. And they defile it with words that they speak and talk about and jokes that they tell. They defile it by things that they may pick up and take into their body, like drugs or alcohol. They defile it with their feet by places their feet may take them and places where God should never be taken and places that dishonor and defile the body. In fact, I believe many Christians defile their bodies day in and day out. But they may think, like the church at Corinth, well, hey, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But may I say to you what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? Your body is where God himself presides. You know, God the Spirit indwells every child of God this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Let's look in verse number 14. The Bible says this, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The ideal there is that you'll have God's blessing. Verse 18 says, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now look here. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. Wait a minute. If I'm a child of God, is God not my father? Yes. And I'm not a son and a daughter of God? Yes. But the emphasis there is, when we live defiling the temple, we break fellowship with God. We do not know His presence. Why? Because in the earthly temple, when they defiled the temple, if they were to ever bring in a false god, or as Nadab and Abihu did, when they brought in that strange fire and men that were wicked before God, the Shekinah glory left. It was gone. The presence of God was gone. And I'm going to tell you what happens. We allow things into our eye gate, our ear gate. We let things come out of our mouth. We go places and do things and see things that dishonor this temple and defile the temple that is the temple to the Holy Spirit. Guess what happens? We lose the blessing of God. We lose His presence, and we do not live in the fellowship of our Heavenly Father. Can I say this to you today? Brethren, this is not a message about, hey, you need to get this out of your life and that out of your life. Look here, I'm not going to give you a list. I'm not going to say this is what we should do and what we should not do. Brethren, I'm going to tell you this. If you are pleasing to your Heavenly Father, and if you are seeking to live a holy life unto God, God, who is the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, will separate the things from your life that dishonor Him. You know, there's been many times in my life when I have wanted to walk with God. And you know what? The Holy Spirit has put His finger on something and says, son, that is not holy. Son, that music is not holy. Son, that type of entertainment is not holy. And you know what? Something, if I obey the Spirit of God who indwells me, guess what? There is harmony. There is joy. There is freedom. There is liberty. But when I resist, and I say, no, this is not too bad. And, you know, this is better than my neighbor does. And this is not as bad as what other people are doing. Can I tell you what I do? I'm not separated unto the Lord. And I lose the blessing and the fellowship, and the presence of God is off of my life. And I have defiled my body. Oh, may God help us today. Brethren, everywhere we go and everything we do, and everything that touches you, in effect, touches God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells you. That is why Paul is striving and he's saying, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You know, it's been amazing to me that so often I have preached in church and I have not talked about something specific. And people come and they confess something specific to God that I never talked about. You know why? Because the Spirit of God is at work. The Spirit of God is dealing. He is touching our hearts. You know something? We ought to come before God and say, God, I acknowledge that I'm your temple. I acknowledge that there is to be harmony. There is to be fellowship. Look here. God designed the Christian life that there should be joy and peace and happiness in your life. And guess where that comes from? When you're in harmony with God. When you're in obedience to Him. When He speaks to your heart, you surrender, you yield, you confess and forsake. But brethren, God desires for our lives to be holy. Now look here. I know what some Christians think. Well, good night. If I really lived a holy life, I'd be some miserable person somewhere. You know, I wouldn't have any fun or any happiness. It was kind of like when I was youth pastor years ago. My young people, I think some of them thought that me and my wife stayed up late at night devising how to make their life as miserable as could be, you know? And I think some young people think that mom and dad, after they get them in bed, they stay up and they plan how to make their life as miserable as it can be, you know? And how to take every good thing away from them. Look here, but sometimes we think that about God. We think, God, you don't know what it's like to live in this culture and this day and age. And God, you just don't understand. Look here. God has your best interest at His heart. God knows what is best for you and me. He knows what defiles the temple and what is pleasing to Him. He knows the things in our life that if we would confess them and forsake them before God, we would have the temple where the Shekinah glory of God would be upon it. Oh, brethren, the temple was a place of holiness. Think to the earthly temple. You and I don't know what it was like, but I'm sure it was a place where men gathered to worship God. It was a place where they glorified the Lord, where songs were sung and prayers were given, and people left the temple with the joy of the Lord in their life. Why? Because they went to a holy place. Look here. If they had went to a place where there was trash on the floor, and a place where there was worship of God, but worship of Baal and worship of Diana and worship of everything else, it would not be a holy place. But you say, well, Pastor, they have the worship of God there. But brethren, Jesus Christ must have the preeminence. And brethren, when you add anything to God, you are destroying the very holiness of God. Today, He expects us to have holy lives. Our bodies are to be holy. And by the way, for us to be worldly or unholy when we are born again means that we really are being unfaithful to our Heavenly Father. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to show you this because I think you might have an idea. Well, Pastor, what does it mean to be holy? What does that really look like? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13. We live in an unholy world. I think all of us would agree with that. We live in a world that's filled with the world's music. Music is a rebel music against God. It's the devil's music. We live in a world where entertainment is against God and against the moral standards of God's word. We live in a world today, and you think, well, Pastor, if I live holy, I'm going to stick out. Well, may I tell you, the temple stood out. The temple stood on the hill, and everyone could look up, and there was the gold building. It was holy. It was sacred. It was set apart. God is there. God is working. But brethren, you are the temple of God. Can I put it practically speaking? When we allow things in our life that are unholy, do you know what it does? It blemishes the temple of God. You lose the blessing of God. When we allow bitterness or unforgiveness in our lives, it defiles the temple. When we speak things of crude things or unkind things, or when we are ungrateful or live with words of ingratitude and words of murmuring and complaining, it's not the coming of the temple of God. We are to be holy. How are we to be holy? 1 Peter 1:13, the Bible says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, the word conversation means this, manner of life. Now, it means this. It means your way of life or your lifestyle. Can I ask you something? What about your lifestyle indicates that you are holy? Let me put it a little deeper. What about our internet viewing indicates that we are holy? What about our TV viewing that indicates that we are holy? What about our words that come out of our mouth, which is a reflection of what is in our heart? Is it an indicator that we are holy to the Lord? You know what? I can still go around places, and I've had people say to me, I've lived here 7 years. In fact, I've lived out of the South for a long time. And people can say, you are not from here, are you? You know why? Because I can still hear the East Tennessee slang that is within my, I guess, my words. They can still hear it. They know it. And, boy, I was just in Tennessee on Monday and Tuesday at a conference there. And And I remember eating, and of course Chick-fil-A's there. Praise God for that, all right? That's holy. That's holiness in your temple, all right? I'm just kidding. But I was eating there. Boy, everybody had such a Tennessee slur about them. I was like, man, I feel right at home here, you know? But can I tell you something? I give myself away because of the way I talk. Look here, what about your speech that indicates that you're a child of God? That indicates that you love Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God indwells you. We are to be a temple of harmony, a temple of holiness. But number three, the last thing, the temple was also a place of hope. Now, I love this very thought. Take your Bibles in closing and go to Psalm chapter 27, would you please? Now, here is what many commentators understand about the temple. Because the temple was a place of gold, and because it was positioned on a hill, and they knew exactly where it was, when the sun would rise there in Jerusalem, can you imagine the reflectiveness of the sun coming off of that temple? Can you imagine in the morning they would see a reflection? What is it? That's the temple. And I believe the very thought of the temple gave hope. Why? Because God is there. God is working. God loves us. God is concerned about us. He is our God and our Father, and we are His people. He gave hope to the people. Can I tell you something? We live in a hopeless world, do we not? And look here. The older I get, what if this is all there is in life? You live and you die and that's it. There's not a lot of hope, is there? But brethren, because there is a God in heaven, and because He has created a place for every child of God, and because we have Him to trust, and He is our rock, and He is our refuge, and He cares for us today, and He knows every detail of our life, we have hope. You know something? We are to be bearers of hope to this world. We are to shine like the temple shone, and people could see the glory of God, not just in His Shekinah glory, but, oh, think of the temple. Psalm 27, I want you to see this. The Bible says in verse number 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I love that. He's our light, our salvation, our strength. "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me, and He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When Thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face far from me. Put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You know what I read from David? A man of hope. Now look, David's circumstances are bad. His enemies are against him. He seems to not be able to find peace and rest, but here's the man of hope. And what does he say? Look back in verse number 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. You know what that meant? David was saying, I want to dwell. I want to find peace and comfort in the house of the Lord, in his presence. And he says, all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Can I say this to you in closing? These bodies that you and I dwell with, these are temples of the Lord. They are to be bodies in harmony with God and harmony with one another. We are to be holy. Look here. Without holiness, the Bible says, no man shall see the Lord. Can I tell you what that means? Without holiness, you'll not know God's work in your life. You'll not know it. Because his presence will be gone. His blessing will not be there. And then thirdly, we are to be a temple of hope. That means that we have to have our trust and our confidence in God. Hope is not wishful, like we might say, I hope that the sun shines very soon, all right? I hope that it gets warmer quick. Well, guess what? We don't have any confidence of that. And I don't have any confidence in the weather, man, that's for sure, all right? We have no really confidence. But today, my hope is not in the weather. It's not in something changing. My hope is in an unchanging God today. My hope is that God is at work and that God loves you and me. He sees us this morning. He knows our heartache. He knows everything about us. And brethren, he is our everlasting Father. We can come unto him. He is immutable. He never changes. He is faithful. And brethren, he is our God. And he is going to take care of everything in our life. That's where hope comes from. But can I tell you something? We walk among people every day that have no hope. We walk in our workplaces, in our schools, and we go where people have no hope. We should be reflectiveness as the temple reflects the sun and the glory of God. We should reflect hope to this lost and dying world. We should say to them, there is a real God, and there is a God who made the heavens and the earth, and there is a God who loves you, and a God who gave his son for you. You see, brethren, today you and I are the temple of the living God. Can I say this to you? We need to reach this world with the message of hope because there is no hope in their sin. Brethren, today, harmony, holiness, and hope. Today, maybe we are blemished because we have defiled the temple. Well, I want to tell you something. You can leave here today with the glory of God upon your life, knowing that you're right with the Lord. And maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can leave here a part of the family of God. In just a moment, you can leave your seat and come and we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But brethren, today, let us live as temples of the living God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.